Hello and welcome to the February 17th, 2026 Annals of Internal Medicine podcast. I'm Dr. Christine Lane, and I'm here with a quick summary of the new articles available on annals.org. I know our listeners are busy, so let's get right to the new articles. First is a position paper from the American College of Physicians Ethics Committee that takes issue with the use of the term provider to describe physicians. The ACP's position is that referring to physicians as providers reduces the patient-physician relationship to a transaction and does not recognize the differences in roles, responsibilities, and training among healthcare professionals. ACP's view is that the words physician and provider are not interchangeable, and using them synonymously also reflects the increasing commercialization of today's practice environment. The current use of the word provider in reference to institutions, insurers, and healthcare professionals lumps impersonal entities with humans. The ACP also recommends that non-physician professionals with varied credentials who care for patients should be referred to as clinicians or healthcare professionals, not as providers. In a new Annals Beyond the Guidelines, two co-authors of the 2024 American College of Gastroenterology Guideline on Acute Pancreatitis discuss diagnostic uncertainties, interventions, and the role of genetic testing in the management of idiopathic acute pancreatitis. Idiopathic acute pancreatitis accounts for approximately 18% of acute pancreatitis cases and presents clinicians with challenges around workup, recurrence, prevention, and the selective use of cholecystectomy and endoscopic retrograde cholangiopancreatography. Given the wide heterogeneity in available evidence and inconsistent guideline recommendations, how to manage idiopathic acute pancreatitis in a young patient remains an important clinical question. Go to annals.org to watch a video of the session, read the article, and obtain CME and MOC credit if you do. Also new is the American College of Physicians' final update of living rapid practice points on antiviral treatment for COVID-19 in outpatient settings. Using evidence from an updated rapid review that is also available on annals.org that focused on the Omicron variant, ACP reaffirms its earlier guidance for treating symptomatic confirmed COVID-19 in both vaccinated and unvaccinated patients. The recommendations emphasize that nirmatrelvir, ritonavir, and molnupiravir may be used for high-risk patients with mild to moderate COVID-19 if started within 5 days of symptom onset. ACP advises against using ivermectin or sotrovimab, as evidence does not support their benefit in the outpatient setting. Because recent updates on ongoing surveillance have not produced meaningful changes to these recommendations, ACP is retiring this topic from its living status, meaning it will no longer be continuously updated. Also new is a synopsis of the 2025 U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and U.S. Department of Defense Joint Clinical Practice Guideline for Primary Care Management of Patients with Asthma. This synopsis provides a summary of the updated recommendations regarding evaluation and management of veterans and military members with asthma. The recommendations are also quite applicable to other populations. The guideline strongly recommends inhaled corticosteroids and streamlined management of asthma by suggesting combination of inhaled corticosteroids and rapid-onset long-acting beta agonists as both reliever and controller agents, and step-up therapy by increasing inhaled corticosteroids or adding long-acting anticholinergic agents. The VA also supports the management of symptomatic gastroesophageal reflux disease and obesity for better control of asthma, but advise against the use of indoor air filtration devices. Criteria for subspecialty referral are also outlined in the document. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, expanded telehealth delivered care for Medicare beneficiaries under the COVID-19 public health emergency, but CMS no longer supports telehealth coverage for non-mental health medical conditions. The absence of permanent legislation may jeopardize access to care, particularly for beneficiaries who have barriers to attending in-person appointments. The study report in the next article pooled data from the Medical Expenditure Panel Survey for adults with Medicare coverage and one or more outpatient visit during 2021. For each outpatient visit, respondents reported if the visit was in-person or via telehealth. Those with one or more telehealth visits were classified as telehealth users. Those without were non-users. Each visit was linked to a condition. Of almost 15,000 respondents, 16.4% had one or more telehealth visits. Among visits for mental health conditions, 45% were telehealth. Among visits for non-mental health conditions, 3.3% were by telehealth and addressed acute and chronic medical conditions. The findings suggest that elimination of telehealth and the flexibility it offers may disproportionately affect the most medically and functionally vulnerable Medicare beneficiaries. The researchers conclude that the loss of telehealth coverage for visits for medical conditions may adversely affect patient outcomes due to missed or foregone care. They say that evaluating the quality and outcomes of telehealth encounters, including how to best sustain them within Medicare, should be a central focus of future research and policy. The next article is a commentary that takes us from telehealth with human clinicians to mental health services by chatbots. The authors offer their perspective on the promise and perils of large language model-based chatbots and provide guidance to clinicians who field questions from their patients about their use. Assessing risk of bias and applicability is essential in reviews of diagnostic test accuracy to produce sound guidance for clinical and policy decisions. To support this process, the authors of a research and reporting methods article present QuADAS3, a tool designed to assess the methodological strength and relevance of diagnostic test accuracy studies included in systematic reviews. The topic of this month's In the Clinic review is frailty, an increasingly important topic given the aging population with many individuals with substantial comorbidity living longer and longer lives. And any of you who, like me, have been following the situation in Minneapolis with horror and worry, I urge you to read a compelling new On Being a Doctor essay by Dr. Janet Jokola, who recently visited Minneapolis and found her hometown nearly unrecognizable. That brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll go to annals.org to take a look at some of the new material I've mentioned and some of previous articles you may have missed. Thanks to Beth Jenkinson, Andrew Langman, and Bernie Turner for their technical support.